have encouraged one another with. And today, God says he's going to bless you with. And we invite you to the 91st number of Psalms, the 91st number of Psalms, the 91st number of Psalms. And I just want you to know, we ain't going to read the whole thing, but the whole thing applies. No. We're going to drop down to verse 5. There's a specific message that God has today for you, you, and for me. Drop down to verse 5, and we will read Psalms 91, verses 5 through 8. Now, I'm just telling you now, I'm not discrediting any of the rest of it, because all of it is good.
Yeah.
Amen. All of it is the word of God. All of it is good. Yes. I love to start and say, he that dwelleth in the secret place, but I can't read all that today. He said, read verses 5 through 8.
Okay.
So in obedience to what Jesus has said, he said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. That was King James Version. I want to read it in the New Living Translation also. The New Living Translation also. He says, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 follow your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Amen. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished.
Amen.
Jesus. I don't know about you, but there's a word inside of that. And the thing that the word of the Lord says, the Father has opened your eyes.
Yes, Lord.
The Father, we've been talking about the Father the last few weeks. The Father has opened your eyes.
My God.
If you're on this call today, if you are in this worship experience today, the Father, and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Father has opened your eyes.
Yes, Lord.
You are no longer blinded. Now, I need to say that again. If you know Jesus Christ and you're in this worship experience today so you can hear me and you know Jesus Christ, the Father has opened your eyes.
My God.
Now, I'll explain that a little bit later, but I'm going to tell you, you can see real good.
My God.
Now, it might be somebody going, well, I don't know. I got a few problems. I got these corrective lenses and, you know, I'm about to have some surgery. I had some surgery, or I got to do this, that, the other, or I may be a little sleepy, but no. We ain't talking about what it looks like. I'm telling you what's a fact. Father has opened your eyes. So because the Father has opened your eyes, we don't see things like the world sees.
My God.
Y'all get that, right? Y'all get that, right?
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. What does the world see today? What does the world see? Well, let me tell you what the world sees. The world sees what it says in the scripture. And this scripture is not talking about the current world. It was talking about what they saw when they left Israel, when they left Pharaoh, right? Talked about what? They saw destruction ahead. They saw calamity ahead. They saw pestilence. They saw danger. They saw, but it was only talking about the things that they could see naturally. So the first thing today is the word says to us, don't be afraid of the dark.
Okay.
I wish I had time to ask everybody, what do you think that means? But I don't. I can't. This is not the setting. This is not a Bible study setting where we can banter back. But firstly, don't be afraid of the dark. So when you turn on the news, if you turn on the news, don't be afraid of the dark.
My God.
The dark is symbolic of all of the pain and destruction that goes on around us.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of the dark. Oh, matter of fact, you don't watch the news, I'm okay with that. You don't want to hear, you done had enough, that's okay. All I'm saying is don't be afraid of it. Don't turn it off because you fear it. Turn it off because God's got something else for you to listen to.
My God.
But if you turn it off because you fear it, then you don't understand that God has opened your eyes. Some of us grew up and we were afraid of the dark. So there used to be a small lamp in your room, or how many have grown up with night lights in their kids' room, or somebody still have a night light in the hallway. So if you walk down the hall, you can see where you go. How many of you have a night light in your bedroom? I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but there are so many people that are afraid of the dark.
Lord.
But what we find here is he says, don't be afraid. He says, thou shall not be. This is a command. Thou said, thou shall not be afraid. But look, how can he say this? Well, because if you go to verse 1, he said, he that dwelleth in what? The secret place of the Most High? What? He said, what? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Now, you got to understand that shadows cast darkness.
Right.
Shadows cast darkness. But he said, don't be afraid of this dark, because if I'm casting my shadow, that's a secure place to be.
Yes.
See, that's my covering. I don't know about you, but if we think through it logically, if we're washed in the blood, blood is not something you want to be covered in. But guess what? Because we're covered in the blood, we are not afraid.
Thank you, Lord.
Then he said, what? Verse 3 said, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Ooh, so Father God, if you are my God and you're my fortress, and I know because you're my Father, you have opened my eyes, I cannot be afraid of the dark. Now, I don't know what you're afraid of. I'm not going to ask you today. It might be bugs. It might be Chicago. It might be Detroit. It might be rejection. It might be the fear of being lonely. It could be all kind of darkness around you. But first thing you need to know, because you are a child of the King, is you cannot be afraid of the dark. He says what? Surely in verse 3, surely, not maybe, surely, not if he feels like it, surely, not when he gets around to it. It says, surely, surely, he shall deliver thee.
Thank you, Lord.
Surely he shall deliver thee.
My God.
That's a promise. So he'll deliver you from your pain. He'll deliver you from your physical. He'll deliver you from the financial issue. He'll deliver you from the emotional issue. He'll deliver you from the doubt. He'll deliver you from anything that keeps you from being who God called you to be.
My God.
Somebody just got their deliverance right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. You've been worried about how long you're going to be by yourself. You've been worried about how long you're going to be out of work. You've been worried about will your money last long enough. You've been worried about how come things don't change. You've been worried about your children. You've been worried about this pain. You've been worried about this itch. You've been worried about this situation that just don't seem to get better. You need to stop worrying. Because the word right there in verse 3 says, surely.
Surely. My God.
Surely.
Surely.
He will deliver thee. That's a promise. So we can't be afraid of the dark. And now we look at verses 5 through 7, say, don't be afraid, what? For the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, for the destruction that walketh at noonday. He said, don't be afraid of it. So when we look at this word that does not change, God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we realize that this same word spoken back here in Psalms 91, talking about the children leaving Pharaoh and what they see, it applies to us today.
Mm-hmm. My God.
You can't be afraid of Corona. That's a fact. No, Corona ain't going to take you out. You can't be afraid of it. We've got due diligence we need to do, but you can't be afraid of it. Corona cannot kill you. Uh-oh, it's going to be silent. I know somebody going, yes, it can. Yes, it can. Mm-hmm. They're dying every day. No, if you are a child of the King, of the Father, it does not kill you. It might put you at rest. It might lay you down for a season, but it can't kill you because we live forever. Let's look at the truth now. So we need to stop fearing what it can do. So your fear is not based on the truth of the word. Your fear is based on what you want. Lord, I don't want to be 6 feet under yet. Lord, I'm not ready to be at rest. Lord, I'm not ready for mama, daddy, sister, brother, child to leave here. That's what I want. But God said, guess what? We do not die. So as I said earlier, if you know Jesus as your Savior, it can't kill you.
See, I'm preacher.
Don't be afraid of the rhetoric that's going around no matter what side you're on. I don't care. That's between you and what God tells you. I don't care what side you get rid of. Don't be afraid of the rhetoric.
My God.
Don't be afraid if somebody pull a gun on you. Don't be afraid if somebody's looting. We still got to stand for the truth. I ain't afraid of the protesters, and I ain't afraid of the protesters protesting. Why? Because God said, don't be afraid. Isn't that what he says? Of the terror by night?
Amen. Amen.
Nor for the arrow that flies by day? We used to think, I grew up, my dad used to tell me, only bad things happen when you stay out too late at night. And back in those days, most bad stuff happened at night. But the word is true. Guess what? It happens all day long now.
Mm.
Evil is evil. Evil got no timetable. Evil is not a vampire. I got to wait till midnight so I won't be in the light. No, yeah. Evil will lurk and get after you with every key.
Yes.
But it said, don't be afraid of the dark. Nor the, for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, for the destruction that, what, waste of that noonday. Do you see that? Dark? No, noonday. Noonday is not dark. He says what? 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
My God.
We're looking at these numbers every day of how many people are being affected and how many people are dying, and we're looking at people or reports going, yeah, it's important, but I'm not, you know, I don't think it's that crazy. I looked yesterday and I saw these nurses that are down the picket line. I'm saying, these are nurses that deal with this every day. And in the midst of the nurses on the picket line, there were a couple of them that did not have on masks. Now, I don't understand. No. They go to the hospital, they go in the door, they gotta have it on. You know the destruction. And yet here you are on the outside with your co-workers with no mask.
Mercy, Lord.
But don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of the challenges that face us. Can I I'm gonna call off and listen. If it's on your street, just say out. If it ain't on your street, just let it keep by. Don't be afraid of being alone. Don't be afraid that somebody don't love you. Don't be afraid of what? Your finances aren't in the best order that they've ever been. Don't be afraid that, guess what? Nobody calls you. Don't be afraid that you might have a situation and you don't know how to get. Don't be afraid when your children go to the left or to the right, because guess what? They're just seeking their own thing. We got to trust to know that what? The Father comes up. Don't be afraid when somebody calls you outside your name. Don't be afraid when somebody keeps trying to tell you you're less than this, you'll never be this. You ain't worth this. Don't be afraid of any of the things that people do to you, because God says, don't be afraid. We can't repeat the things that our children of Israel did. We can't be like the 10 spies. We got to be like Joshua and Caleb. He said, don't be afraid. Now, if God says go, you got to go. When God says do, you got to do. When God says up, you get up. When God says sit down, you sit down. But don't be afraid. As we learned in Sunday school, don't be afraid not to be part of the gospel column. Don't be afraid, as the young lady said, I can't listen to you all talk about the new boss. You talk about the old boss. So you're always going to be talking about bosses. Don't be afraid not to get caught up in that. Don't be afraid in the midst of all that's going on to say, you know, for Christ I live and for Christ I'm going to die.
My God.
Don't be afraid to take a stand like John the Baptist took a stand. He said, what, I'm not going into the temple and do it the old way. Y'all think I'm demon-possessed, but I'm telling you, I'm fulfilling proof that I'm greater than the old prophet. I'm fulfilling proof that I'm pointing to Christ. Don't be afraid to say you're pointing people to Christ. It's not about me.
Jesus.
That's what he says. He said, don't be afraid. And then the second thing, and we're going to be done after this. We're going to be saying, you can see clearly now. Somebody say to yourself, I can see clearly now. I can see. Don't look at what your physical eyesight's saying to you now, because it might have a blur and everything else. But just say to yourself, you can see clearly now.
I can see clearly now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at what it said. It said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And verse 8, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Look, he's saying only in your natural, but he said in the spiritual, you can see clearly.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, there was a song that came out years ago, and I was a kid at the time. It says, I can see clearly now, the rain has gone.
Mm-hmm.
I can see all obstacles in my way. And he talked about how awesome it was that the clouds had left and how clearly enough. A little man named Johnny Nash, and not many people know, but then in 92 in Cool Runnings, a new guy made it over again, and it was part of the Cool Runnings movie and the Jamaican bobsled team. But so I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. And all I could think about was say, because of prayer, he said, I can see now. He said, how often do we wait for the clouds to pass? We get afraid of the dark. You know, when the thunderclouds come, they say, what? Go to your basement. Mm-hmm. Get away from the windows. Now, I'm just a different kind of guy. I like seeing the thunderclouds, the majesty of God. Mm-hmm. But he said, look, but I just want you to understand, this is not new. All throughout the Word of God, God has given us clarity to see. No matter what the situation is. He said, we will see the destruction of the enemy. When they come against us, they shall fall. When they come at us, they shall fall. Whether it's 1,000 or whether it's 10,000, they have to fall. Why? Because Jesus is in control. But you don't have to believe me. Look at what the Word of God. If you were to go to Genesis 48, in Genesis 48, you know the story maybe. And if you don't, you need to read it. In Genesis 48, we find that Israel, his name is Israel, finally gets to see Joseph again. After seeing him, and finally Joseph comes to be with Jacob. And not only that, he brings his children. He brings his two boys to see Joseph, to see Israel. He brings them there. And then all of a sudden he said, Daddy, will you bless my boys? And Daddy said, yes, I'm going to bless your boys. But then something happened. When he got ready to bless the boys, he put the right hand is the hand that gives the superior blessing. But he took the younger son with the right hand and the older son with the left hand, and he began to bless them. And Joseph was saying, oh, Daddy, I know you can't see. You got it wrong, Daddy. That younger one, you got it right. He said, no, I don't, son. He said, no. The younger one is who's going to receive the most blessing, because that's what God said. Joseph didn't want to see that. He said, I'm not blind, Joseph. He said, I know what I'm doing, the younger one. Now, Joseph had forgotten, y'all hear this now, Joseph had forgotten he was the youngest one. Who got what? The coat of many colors, right? Mm-hmm. He went through the dark days, right? He got thrown into prison, right? He got what? He could what? Interpret the dreams. He got written what? And all of a sudden he became the second in command. And because he was in the second in command, he didn't pass down evil upon his brothers. But what? He got to see his daddy again. And now his daddy was going to do something that wasn't supposed to be done. And he thought his daddy was blind, but his daddy was not afraid of the dark. He could see clearly. And he said, no, son, the youngest one. Go read it. Genesis 48. Go read it. You don't have to understand. What did they say about Moses? Y'all remember what was said about Moses when he died? So in Deuteronomy 34, it says Moses was 120 years old. Moses was 120 years old. But that's what it said about his sight. It said that Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. Moses got weak, y'all. But Moses, what? He could see. He could see clearly. There was nothing wrong with his eyesight. My God had given him 20/20, y'all. 120 years old. Let me get to be 80. And somebody going to say, well, you've been wearing glasses all your life. You can't see. You can't drive. But I come to declare to you today, you might take my driver's license away. You might take the car away from me. You might have to lead me down the street. But I can still see clearly, because through the eyes of Jesus, nothing will stop me from knowing what the Lord sees.
My God.
Oh, it don't stop there. This is good stuff, y'all. It says what? Go to Isaiah. What does it say? Isaiah 32. 32, it says what? Look at Isaiah 32 and 3 says, and the eyes of them that shall not be dim, the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. See, you got a promise way back from the Old Testament all the way through Jesus Christ that your eyes will never be dim. Now, you might not be able to physically open them. You might be able to physically not be able to determine whether it's an A, B, E, or D on the eye chart, but your spiritual eye always has vision. so you can see clearly.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Today, you got shackles and blinders on. Take them off. In the name of Jesus, speak them. Stop speaking loneliness. Stop speaking doubt. Stop speaking fear. The Father God made you heir, and because you are heir, the blessings have been passed down from generation to generation to generation through Jesus the Christ. And because it's through Jesus the Christ, it's not your biological family you got to be concerned with. That's a nicety. That's a wonderful thing. But if you don't know your daddy, it's okay. If you don't know mom and sister, it's okay. If you don't know what region of Africa or wherever you came from, that's okay. Because Jesus, you know you came from our Heavenly Father. When he created us, of the dust of the clay and blew his spirit, he started the lineage and it has not changed. Jesus connected us, reconnected us because we were separated. Jesus said, I will do what my Father needs me to do to bring his children back home. They need to see that way home.
Yes.
Why? Because they were like sheep that are going astray. But he said, your vision, you can see clearly now. And that's just Old Testament, but it don't stop in the Old Testament. Look at what he says in Luke. Look at what he says in Luke. Look at what he says in Luke. In Luke 21, 16 through 18. Look at what he says there. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And what? Some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. There shall not. You are not going to die. You will not be blinded. You will always be able to see, because I am the light of the world, and you know me. You've accepted me. You can see me. So don't worry where they put you. Don't worry if they put you out the pasture. Don't worry if they put you 6 feet under, because you'll be blinded by the dirt, but you will always see for eternal heaven, because that's just the rest place.
My God.
Now somebody said, well, I don't know, Pastor. We're not in there. No, that's not what my Bible teaches me. Because the Bible says when Jesus comes back, the dead in Christ will rise first. And when we rise, what? We shall behold his face.
My God.
So if you ain't can't see and you blind, how you going to behold Jesus' face in heaven? Well, you know, we're going to have a transformation. No, baby, you ain't never been without sight. You've been without it physically, but you have not been without it spiritually.
Mm.
And those are two different things. We don't walk in this physical life to live a spiritual life.
My God.
We have to understand the vision that God has. He's given us 20/20 vision. Yeah. I know Christ because it's written on the table of my heart. I will always see Christ when I get to heaven, and I can wait on it, but I know I'm on my way. I'm not afraid of the terror. I'm not afraid of the 1,000 or the 10,000, because the Bible tells me I'm going to get to see them put to what they deserve.
My God.
Let me tell you, when we were kids, if you had any siblings, you loved it when your sibling got a spanking or got in trouble. You could laugh about it, but you just went, ooh, that's good. I can see that. Yeah, I know some of y'all laughing and some of y'all, I get it. But the reality is, all those who caused you pain, all those who've attempted to take you out, all those who've talked about you that don't know Jesus the Christ, all those who have doubted what you've been trying to share, all those who refuse to accept the power and life of Jesus Christ, we're going to see them get what they deserve. That's how good our God is. That's how awesome our God is. You don't have to stop there. You can even we read about it in Romans. We read about it in Romans. You know Romans. We love to go to Romans 8:28. You know, 8:28. But before we go to 28, stop at 26. So likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know that when we should what? Pray for what we ought. But the Spirit, what? Itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be. Even when we know what we're supposed to do and we don't understand it, God the Father said, I'll show you. I'm going to give you 2020. I'm going to let the Spirit, through groanings, tell you what to pray for.
Okay.
I don't want you wasting your time. I don't want you praying for the wrong thing. I don't want you being self-centered. All you got to do is know that I got your back, and the Spirit will tell you what to pray for.
My God. My
27
God.
Said, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now we can get to the 28. Said, and we know what? All things work together for good to them what? That love God, to them who are called according what? To his purpose.
Yeah.
So, do you know Jesus today?
Amen.
If you know Jesus today, guess what? You got 2020. Do you know Jesus today? then guess what? You don't need to be afraid of the dark. Now, darkness comes in many ways. It could be a bug. It could be an ant. It could be a roach. It could be a dog. It could be a cat. It could be a person talking about you. It could be fear what doing your best to die. It could be fear trying to stand up when somebody goes sideways in the church and you're going to say, nope, that's not according to the word of God. I got to do what thus saith the Lord. It could be, oh, I'm not popular no more. I'm not with the majority. Guess what? The majority has never ruled according to God. He would have to be too many people to be too many places. But because he is supreme, his one voice controls all.
Yeah.
So he said, don't be afraid of darkness. Don't be afraid. Don't get caught in doubt. And look at how those things work together. Mm-hmm. Doubt, fear, separation, destruction. They all take us away from Christ. But when we see what thus saith the Lord, and we know what the word says, we see the proof in what God does. Israel, Jacob said, yeah, you think I'm blind, Joseph, but I know who the oldest is, and I know who the youngest is, but I know what thus God has said.
Yeah.
Moses had some issues later in life, but guess what? His vision was not dim, it was 20/20. David had some challenges in life. He was a warrior, but when he got older, David got tired. But the vision and warrior spirit didn't stop. His soldier said, David, you go back. We cannot let the light of Israel go dim. So you go back. We got the battle. Some of us need to understand this battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. Stop trying to fight it in our mentality. Stop trying to fight it with our vision. Stop trying to fight it with the only things we can see. Let God show us. When we don't know, we confuse. Allow the Lord to have the Spirit show us what to pray for.
Yes.
So it says you can see clearly now. So the prayer today is that God has shown you that you don't have to doubt what you see.
All right.
God saw the best in you. That's what Dr. Sapp said. The word says he sees the best in you.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not what I used to be. Bishop Morton said, I am what you see.
Yes.
You're not necessarily what I see, but you are what God sees. And because you are what God sees and you've surrendered to him, you can see it clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't be fooled by doctor's degrees. Don't be fooled by serious theological training, because you know something? They were fooled in Jesus' days.
I got.
They thought they had something on Jesus. But Jesus, at an early age, the age of 12, he taught them in their with wisdom from on high that they couldn't understand. So you are what God sees.
Yes.
So today, my encouragement with you before we pray and have the Lord's communion, my encouragement is you need to walk in your 2020 vision. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't create this. 2020 vision came up a long time ago. But do you know why we have it today? Because this is the year 2020.
My God.
And we've seen things that we've never seen before.
Right.
But we got to keep the vision of what God sees.
Yes.
Never before would you have seen that the whole world was shut down and it not be a physical war. World War I, World War II, folks are hoping for World War III. But in 2020, the world is shut down. But in our 2020 vision, which all of us aspire to, that's the reason you wear glasses and I wear glasses. That's the reason people wear contacts. That's the reason they get cataracts taken off. That's the reason they go through other kinds of surgery. They want to get back to 2020. Mm. Our spiritual vision is 2020.
Amen.
Thank you.
This is a year for us to see clearly. This is a year for us not to be distracted. This is a year for us to be like the horses and just have the blinders on to see Christ. I don't want to see the wind and the waves. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the bank accounts. I don't want to see the job disappearing. I just need to see Christ. Because as long as I see Christ and I hear Christ, guess what? He that have an ear, let him hear I hear my victory. As long as I see Christ, I hear my deliverance. As long as I see Christ, I hear my path, see my path. As long as I see Christ, I see the naysayers falling to the left and falling to the right. When they come and they take your job, I see another job, open it up. I just need to see when is the time, Lord God. And I walk toward. When I see church doors closing and closing, I don't see the door of Christ closing. I see God opening up more places. I see God meeting people where they are. Oh, folks don't want to come to the building. They want to do Zoom. They want to do Facebook. They want the convenience. I don't care how they want to go. I just want them to see Christ. Because here's what I know. If they see Christ and they see it clearly, they'll get up and they'll get to a place. If they see Christ and they see him clearly, you ain't got to invite them. They'll come running through the door. But if we just lead them to Christ again, we'll watch and see what God does.
Okay.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
bless
hallelujah,
you,
hallelujah, hallelujah. We talked last week, we said, Oswald Chambers said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find us doing the right thing? He said, we all have good faith and good principles and good management and common sense, but who amongst us has faith in Jesus Christ? He said, physical courage is grand, moral courage is grander, but the man who trusts Jesus Christ in the face of the terrific problems of life is worth a whole crowd of heroes. I don't need the advocates. I don't need the protesters. I don't need the lawmakers. All I need is Jesus Christ. And if I got Jesus, that's enough. Because with Jesus, he'll direct our path. With Jesus, we'll know who shot those kids. With Jesus, we'll know who's stealing the money. With Jesus, we'll know who the naysayers are. With Jesus, we'll know who the evildoers are. With Jesus, he'll show us that we might do the right thing. So we ought to get out of the conversation, get out of the back and forth, get out of the bait, and just stand on Jesus. We need to be more like John the Baptist. For Christ I live, and for Christ I'm going to die. I don't care if I got to go to prison. He's still pointing to Christ. I don't care if they want to behead me. I still got to live. But I don't care if they crucify me with their words. I don't care if they separate me. I don't care if you don't want to love me like God said. I don't care what you want, because with Jesus, I got all I need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 2020. Yes. So find your word today. Find the scripture that he gives you.